Well, as usual, it's a great honor to be sharing with you from God's Word. And last week, when we worshiped with St. Paul's The Cross in the park, I started a series for us on the book of Ruth. And Ruth is one of the shorter books in the Bible, but it's a great story with a happy ending. And it starts out very sadly with an Israelite man from Bethlehem, as Shirley shared for us before, a man named Elimelech, who with his wife Naomi and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, moved to Moab during a famine in Bethlehem. And Elimelech took Moabite wives for his sons, Ruth and Orpah, against God's law. And then in time, Elimelech died, and then Mahlon and Chilion died as well, leaving Naomi and her two daughters-in-law as widows with no sons. And when Naomi returned to Judah, she convinced Orpah to stay behind in Moab, but Ruth refused to leave, and she returns with Naomi. And eventually Ruth remarries an excellent, respectable man named Boaz, who is the cousin of her deceased husband, as was the custom. So last week we saw that element of the story. We focused on the character Boaz, who would come to marry Naomi. And we saw that Boaz followed not just the letter of God's law, but also the spirit of the law. He knew God's heart to care for the poor and the widow and the orphan and the foreigner. And we saw that Boaz was faithful in the little things, and so that prepared him to step up big in high-impact moments when God was requiring him to be faithful. And we can and should do the same, spiritual training for big things. And we saw that Boaz points us ahead to Christ, who also cared for the poor and the outsider, and who laid down his honor and his life to restore us to honor and right relationship with God. So that was Boaz. In a couple of weeks, we will look at the character of Naomi, and today the focus is Ruth. We will see that Ruth is an embodiment of Lady Wisdom, a personification of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And furthermore, like Boaz, Ruth is a type of Christ, our Savior. In her courage, her humility, and in her wisdom, she is like Christ. And as someone from outside God's people, Israel, Ruth is an ancestor of all of us who come into God's people by faith. And remember, as I said last week, we need to see more than just what we want to see in the book of Ruth. God is speaking to us in this book, so let us listen to him. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts upon your word be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're going to be reading a little bit selectively through some verses from chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. They're listed there in your bulletin, but we'll begin with chapter 1, verses 11 to 18. But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, 'I have hope,' even if I should have a husband this night and I should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of Yahweh has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May Yahweh do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Now chapter 2, verses 2, 3, and 12. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I have found favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And in verse 12, Boaz is speaking to Ruth and says, Yahweh repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by Yahweh, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Now we'll read chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And she replied, All that you say I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, Who are you? She answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. And he said, May you be blessed by Yahweh, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as Yahweh lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I have three main points to make about Ruth and her significance for us. Before we get there, though, it's important for us to understand the backstory of Moab and the Moabites within the Bible. We've talked before about how the Mosaic Law, Deuteronomy in particular, creates several categories of exclusion for people outside Israel for the purpose of either those people coming to live within Israel or converting to worship the God of Israel or intermarrying with Israelites. It seems that the general rule for men who weren't Canaanites or members of a handful of other specific peoples was that they could be circumcised and convert to worshiping the God of Israel and be considered full members of the community. So Caleb the Kenizzite seems to be someone who fits this category. If we look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23, people from Edom and Egypt are excluded from the assembly of Yahweh to the third generation, which the rabbis took to mean that if an Edomite or an Egyptian converted to worshiping the God of Israel, he would circumcise his son and then raise his son in the faith. And if that son grew up and circumcised his son, then it was a sign that the conversion was genuine. And that grandson, so the third generation, would be considered a full member of Israel. Members of the seven Canaanite ethnic groups, on the other hand, were supposed to be utterly destroyed, and no intermarriage would be permitted, Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 23 places two peoples, the Moabites and Ammonites, somewhere on the spectrum between Egyptians and Edomites on one hand, and Canaanites on the other hand. Moabites and Ammonites are excluded from the assembly of Yahweh to the 10th generation, which could be a way of saying excluded forever. There is one stated reason and one implied reason for this. If we read Genesis 19, verses 30 to 38, the Bible claims that Ammonites and Moabites are the product of incest between Lot and his two daughters. Also, Deuteronomy 23 says that the Moabites and the Ammonites did not show hospitality to the Israelites on their way out of Egypt. And we'll see that hospitality actually becomes an important part of the Ruth story. So coming back to the story of Ruth, that's what the Israelites understood the Moabites to be. Distant cousins of their ancestor Abraham through his nephew Lot, but excluded because of their ancestry and their hostility. 7 times in the book, Ruth is referred to as the woman from Moab, or Ruth the Moabite. The author is constantly reminding us where she is from. The first point that I want to make about Ruth herself is that Ruth embodies lady wisdom. Well, what is wisdom? Wisdom is understanding how the world works and how it should work. In the Bible, wisdom comes from the fear of Yahweh, but wisdom is also present in cultures outside Israel. In compiling the book of Proverbs, King Solomon and King Hezekiah borrowed proverbs and saying from other cultures, like the Egyptians, recognizing that wisdom for living can be found apart from God's law. In the book of Proverbs, Lady Wisdom represents the wisdom that the royal son, the putative audience of the book, should seek to marry himself to, in contrast to Dame Folly. In the final chapter of Proverbs, we have the poem about the excellent wife, which is the high point of Proverbs' teaching on wisdom. What you might not know is that in the Hebrew order of the books of the Old Testament, Proverbs comes right before Ruth. And there are some wonderful parallels between Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31, this poem, and the character of Ruth in the book of Ruth, despite her being a Moabite. So in Proverbs 31:10, it says, "An excellent wife, an eshet chayil, who can find?" Well, in Ruth 3:11, Boaz says that Ruth is widely recognized in the town as an eshet chayil, an excellent woman, a woman of substance or strength. And in Ruth 2:1, Boaz is called an ish chayil, an excellent man. So they are a perfect pair to end up together. In Proverbs 31:31, it says that her works praise her in the gates. Her character speaks for itself. In Proverbs 31:11, it says, "The heart of her husband trusts in her." And in verse 23, it says that her husband sits in the gates with the elders. In verse 28, it says that her husband praises her. And all of these are true of Ruth in the story about her husband, her eventual husband. Proverbs 31, verses 13 and 17 say that Lady Wisdom, the excellent woman, works with her hands and that she has strong arms. And verse 15 says that she rises while it is still night in order to work. And these are all true of Ruth in the story. Verse 20 says that she extends her hands to help the poor and the needy. In the story, Ruth herself is poor, but she helps Naomi, her mother-in-law. Perhaps she could have lived a more prosperous life in Moab, but she sacrificed that for her love of Naomi. Verse 25 says that the excellent woman clothes herself with dignity and strength, and verse 26 says that she opens her mouth with wisdom. And in verse 30, we read that outward appearance is less important than character. And you notice in the story, what we just read a minute ago, Ruth has chosen Boaz to be her redeemer, even though he is older, and perhaps, by implication, not as attractive, but she does the right thing for her mother-in-law and for her deceased husband. So these are some nice parallels that we've observed between Proverbs 31 and the book of Ruth. So that's the first point, that Ruth is an embodiment of Lady Wisdom. Second point is that Ruth, like Boaz, is a type of Christ. In Proverbs 8, we read that Lady Wisdom was with God at the time of creation, and by and with wisdom, he created the world. Well, in John 1, we read that Jesus was with the Father and the Spirit at the time of creation. And 1 Corinthians 1 tells us that in contrast to the wisdom of the world, the foolish wisdom of God is displayed in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And so Jesus, in an even greater sense than Ruth, is an embodiment of wisdom. Like Jesus, Ruth takes action to save God's people. Ruth goes out into the fields and works by the sweat of her brow to provide for her Israelite mother-in-law. She proposes marriage to Boaz on the threshing floor to raise up a name for her Israelite husband. She humbles herself, risking her physical safety by venturing out in the fields, and risks her honor. We talked last time about how Jesus, like Boaz, risked his honor to cover the shame of others. And Ruth does the same here. There's another fun parallel. At the end of the book, Ruth 4, verse 15, Naomi's friends celebrate with her that Ruth, her daughter-in-law, is better to you than seven sons. Well, what's better than seven sons? Eight sons, right? Or the eighth son. And who is the eighth son? King David. David is the eighth son of Jesse, who is himself the grandson of Ruth and Boaz. So both Ruth and David are more valuable than seven sons. And of course, they become the ancestors of Jesus, the most precious son whom God has given for the sins of the world. So Ruth is Lady Wisdom, and Ruth is a type of Christ. And my third observation, and probably the most significant, is that Ruth is a genuine convert, a true Israelite by faith in the God of Israel. When she gives her famous speech of loyalty to Naomi, what does she say? She says, "Your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God." And Boaz rightly describes her as having put all her faith in Yahweh, taking refuge under Yahweh's wings, a phrase that we know from the Psalms, taking refuge under God's wings. So Ruth is a true believer. She's not just along for the ride based on the professed faith of her husband, Mahlon. And this is why I think the book of Ruth is written at a time, or could have been written, in a time when the people of Judah were continually suspicious of outsiders and forbidding intermarriage. Perhaps the time of Ezra is one good time for this. And I don't think there's any theological conflict between the theology of Ezra and Nehemiah and Ruth. Ezra and Nehemiah were concerned about intermarriage because the Canaanite and Moabite and Egyptian women were drawing the Judahite men's hearts away from the Lord. But Ruth is proof that even a despised Moabite woman could come to genuine faith in the God of Israel and become a suitable wife for Boaz. And in this way, Ruth is responding to the missionary purpose of God's plan for Israel. Isaiah 2 prophesies that nations will stream to Yahweh's house and get excited about following his ways and learning his Torah. In Isaiah 56, foreigners are welcome in God's house if they exhibit their faith by keeping his Sabbaths. In Romans 4, which we read earlier, Paul addresses this point in light of the coming of the Messiah. And he observes that Genesis 15:6 says, "Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." And then Paul asks his audience, was this before Abraham was circumcised or after? It was before, because Abraham was counted righteous through faith apart from his circumcision. Now, Paul does not bring up in his discourse here Ruth, but compare Abraham to Ruth. Ruth could not be circumcised as a woman, and yet she was a true daughter of Abraham by faith. So if Paul calls Abraham the father of faith for all who have faith, then we might call Ruth the mother of all who come into God's people by faith. And interestingly, right after Ruth in the Hebrew order of the scriptures is the Song of Songs, which is the perfect book to follow on the wedding at the end of the story of Ruth. And just as the Song of Songs pictures the relationship between God and his people as a marriage, so the marriage of Boaz and Ruth at the end of the book of Ruth is a type or a picture of the blessed union between Christ and his church, comprised of people from many nations and tribes and tongues. So let's see where we've been. Ruth is an example for us in her devotion and in her loyalty to her husband's memory and to her mother-in-law and to Yahweh God. She is an example in her diligence and her hard work and her wisdom. She shows great courage to endure the discomfort of life as a foreigner in a new place. And she shows courage in approaching Boaz on the threshing floor, seeking to marry him on behalf of her late husband's honor and his family. And her rewards from God are significant. Her second marriage, her child, her great name, and becoming the ancestor of King David and King Jesus. And Ruth's great reward reminds us that God's plan of salvation marches on, and nothing is going to stop him from saving his people. God's plan of salvation includes people from every nation and tribe and tongue. If it can include Moabites like Ruth and Canaanites like Rahab and Uriah and Ornan, then it can include anyone. And there are many passages in the prophets that speak about Moab, often negatively because of this ongoing antagonism between Moab and Israel. But there is a surprising and beautiful oracle about Moab in a portion of Isaiah 15 and 16. That oracle criticizes Moab for worshiping other gods and for their pride and for being hostile to Israel. But then it says the following in Isaiah 16, verses 3 to 5. Shelter the outcasts. Do not reveal the fugitive. Let the outcasts of Moab sojourn among you. Be a shelter to them from the destroyer. When the oppressor is no more and destruction has ceased, he who tramples underfoot has vanished from the land, then a throne will be established in steadfast love, and on it will sit in faithfulness in the tent of David, one who judges and seeks justice and is swift to do righteousness. So despite all that they have done against God and against his people Israel, the Moabite refugees will be welcomed and will be welcomed in the kingdom of and under the protection of a king descended from David, who was himself part Moabite through Ruth. And in a way, we who are not Israelites ethnically or even Moabites benefit from this prophecy because we have taken shelter under the wings of Jesus, the Son of David, who has gathered us as a hen gathers her chicks. You know, I've sometimes wondered, why did Ruth make this momentous decision to follow Naomi and Naomi's God? What would prompt such devotion in Ruth's heart? Did Ruth learn about the God of Israel from her in-laws while in Moab? Probably, but then again, Elimelech doesn't seem like a particularly faithful Israelite because he had left his ancestral land. He had taken Moabite wives for his sons against the Torah. So we can't say that that Ruth's in-laws have been shining examples of devotion to Yahweh. But what we see is that there has been a stronger pull on Ruth's life. Yahweh has sought out Ruth, has been working in her heart, has drawn her to himself. Boaz recognizes this in Ruth's life. And the same is true for each of us who are sons and daughters of Ruth, not by birth, but by our faith in Israel's God. And in each of our lives, we see that God has been at work through various people and many different events, working in our hearts to draw us to himself. And our job is to listen to God calling us through his word and through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us just as he was guiding Ruth to go with Naomi. And the Spirit is even now conforming us more and more each day to the image of Christ. Maybe you're here today and you haven't yet responded to God's call to faith in Jesus. But God is gracious and compassionate. And in ancient times, he did not turn away a destitute young widow who had seemingly nothing to offer. He will never turn away anyone who cries out to him. And today can be the day that you take refuge under his wings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.